Station 2. Good morning. Happy HTBX day. Expedition 73 is ready for morning DPC.
Good morning, Expedition 73. Happy HTBX day. We are tracking an on-time capture for HTBX, and it's currently about 100 kilometers behind ISS and 7 kilometers below. Our other big picture items for today's plan is Xena is going to be fixing the brine processor, and Kimmy will be doing some biolab cleaning. And that is everything from Houston. So do you have any questions or comments for us? If not, I will hand you to Emily in Huntsville.
You said that is great news. Thanks for the update. And we have no questions or comments. Good morning, Emily in Huntsville. What do you have for us?
Good morning, Expedition 73. First, for any available crew, we need some help with the Express Rack 4 laptop at Gem Forward 6. We just need you to check the power chain and plug it in if it's disconnected. We don't want you to power on the laptop as we're going to need it to charge first, and we can take care of that from the ground.
Okay, we will take a look at the EL4 laptop, and we will not turn it on. Make sure the power chain is good. Thanks.
We appreciate it. And secondly, for Mike and Kimia, we want to thank you for all your hard work with ZBot yesterday. The PD team sang your praises. The good news is the software is working. However, there is an issue that the PD team is still investigating. The team is going to work a troubleshooting plan today, which might lead to an activity later in the week, but we'll keep you updated when we know more.
Happy to do whatever it takes.
And we appreciate that. Do you all have anything for us today?
Emily, no, we don't have anything other than just an appreciation for everything you all do for us.
You guys make our job easy, and we hope you have a fantastic day. I'll hand you over to Sarah in Munich.
Good morning, Sarah in Munich. How can we help you?
Good morning, Expedition 73. Munich has one topic for any available crew member to avoid the Columbus payload laptop 2 turning on for maintenance activities. We would like to ask one of you to please switch off the cobalt brick, which has a serial number 1442, and that cobalt brick is connected to the SUP1 outlet 3 in Columbus 1 aft 1, so it should be somewhere around there.
Sarah, we will make sure the cobalt brick 1442 is turned off, and we'll port when that's complete.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Do you have anything for Munich?
Sarah, we don't have any questions or comments for you.
Great. Then I do have scuba waiting by with no topics, and since we don't have any DPC for our Moscow crew members, then I will close, and I wish you guys a beautiful day, and we'll keep in touch on the loops.
Great. We don't have any questions or comments for scuba other than wishing everyone the best of luck and a happy HTBX capture day. And with that, Expedition 73 is signing off from morning DPC. Okay, Station 2, reporting cobalt brick 1442 is turned off.
Munich copies all, and thank you for your support.
Welcome, Sarah. And Huntsville Station on 2 for ELC laptop.
Good morning, Mike. We're with you on 2.
Emily, I miss you all already. There was a loose connector at the back of the laptop. We put it back in, checked the rest of the power chain without opening the lid or anything, but from the flashing lights on the back of the laptop, it looks like we now should have power and hopefully be charging ELC4.
And, Mike, we have good telemetry on the ground. Thanks for your help.
Fantastic. And, thanks for giving us feedback on yesterday's activity. Wishing the PD team great success.
Thanks for that, Mike. I'll be sure to pass it along. Yeah, I didn't want to leave you guys hanging. We are hoping that the fix will not involve uncabling everything, but I cannot make you any promises yet.
You're reading our minds. We were so in sync yesterday. Yes, we hope we don't have to do uncabling, but if that's what's needed, then we will, Kimia-san and I are happy to have a repeat performance yesterday because that went very well and we're a lot smarter now.
And we appreciate that, and you were always smart, and at least we know where all the cables are this time and you won't have to go spelunking again.
That's certainly for sure. And it was a super helpful yesterday when you were kind of telling us where to find things ahead of time. That it made us feel like you were right up here with us. So thanks and keep up the good work.
you guys. We appreciate it. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Xena. This is your hand pass reminder. Your rise time is 10:36.
And thank you.
Station on Space Ground 2 for robotics.
Kimia, good morning. If you're going to ask us about step one, MSS is configured for hop backup for the HEV capture. Procedure 1.110.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, you read my mind, so I'm going to proceed to the next step.
Copy. よろしくお願いします.
よろしくお願いします. Station on Space Ground 2 for robotics.
Ground 2.
I'm on step 2, decimal 2, and now I'm confirming verify unloaded parameters. And actually, this console said deeply FF, free fire, and procedure saying that deep, re-tip elbow SS HTVX. And just check the menus and options. I don't see any options about this one, like elbow SS HTVX. So what should I do?
Second.
Thank you.
And Kimia, back with you. Thanks for checking that. The lead tip FF, which you are seeing, is correct. That we have a procedure error.
I understand. So this one is great. Okay, understand. So other than that, I just checked everything. So SSRMS and RWS configured for monitoring HTVX approach.
Okay, copy all. And for your next activity, you are go to perform 1.203 HTVX PCS command and prox link verification as written, no deltas.
Okay, I have a go for next procedure, no delta. Thank you. So station on Space Ground 2 for HTVX.
Ground 2.
I'm on step 2, step 2. And command pass LED is on, and acquisition light activated by PCS command.
Copy all, we concur. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your support.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for HTVX.
Ground 2.
Hey, Kimia. HAM2 approach initiation burn is complete. Expect to begin using 1.102 HTVX approach and retreat monitoring when HTVX range decreases to 1,000 meters, which is, we estimate, about 1302 GMT. I'll copy.
Okay, we're going to start monitoring when the range approaches 1,000 meters, and it's going to be 1302. Something like that. So we'll be ready by 1 o'clock.
Good, copy.
Station Space Station on 2.
Good on 2.
Sorry, I wanted to ask a very easy question before we get into HTV ops. We saw it from the window. It's beautiful, by the way. Real quick, I'm charging some POM batteries, and I was just wondering when and for what purpose they're used, and just have the big picture, not anything else, and we're getting them charged now.
Happy question, check-in. And Station Houston on 2 for Mike, back with you. Those batteries are going to be used tomorrow for the AGA checkout. It's on Johnny's timeline.
Perfect. I'll make sure Johnny knows where to find the charge batteries and that everything goes without a hitch. Thanks for the heads up.
You bet. Thanks for the question. Station Houston on 2 for HTVX.
With you on 2 for HTVX.
Hey, Zena. Wanted to let you know HTVX range is 1,000 meters. Monitor long-range approach per step 1 and 1.102.
Copy, 1,000 meters, and we'll be monitoring in step 1 of 1.102. Kimia-san is ready.
Copy.
Zoom station on 2 for HTVX. HTVX is in sight and looking beautiful.
Sweet. And, Zena, just for your information, so if you look at the caution warning, we have a suppressed caution. That is due to a LiDAR 2 issue. We are investigating. We still have two LiDARs, LiDARs 1 Alpha and 1 Bravo, so we're still go.
Okay, we are still go with two LiDARs, and we do see the suppressed caution. Thanks for the information.
Good morning from Mission Control in Houston and the International Space Station Flight Control Room. Yesterday, it was a spacewalk by two Roscosmos cosmonauts. Today, a space freighter arrives at the International Space Station, the brand new HTV-X1, Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency's new cargo ship that is on final approach for a capture robotically by JAXA astronaut Kimiya Yui, backed up by NASA's Zena Cardman using the station's robotic arm. Capture scheduled about 2 hours and 44 minutes from now.
White navigation light.
Happy green, you see, but not the white.
You're hearing the voice of NASA's Zena Cardman, who, along with Kimiya Yui of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, will be in the cupola at a robotics workstation. Yui will be prime for extending the Canadarm2 robotic arm once the HTV-X1 arrives about 30 feet away from the station. Yui will reach out and grapple a grapple fixture on the HTV-X1 to complete its 3.5-day journey since its launch from the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan.
In station for HTV-X, so far we only have visual on the green light, also no visual negative.
The journey of HTV-X1 began on Saturday night, U.S. time, Sunday morning, Japan time, with an on-time liftoff from the Yoshinobu Launch Complex at the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan. Atop an H-3 rocket, the HTV-X1 lifted off and some 14 minutes later separated from the second stage of the H-3 rocket to begin a pre-programmed arrival for a rendezvous at the International Space Station, which is in its terminal phase as we speak. The H-3 rocket performed perfectly both stages, delivering the HTV-X1 cargo ship on time and its preliminary orbit, after which a series of rendezvous maneuvers increased the altitude of the HTV-X1 incrementally to match that of the International Space Station for the final phase of the rendezvous, which is well underway. Just a couple of minutes ago, the HTV-X1 arrived along what is called the R-bar, the radial vector, directly underneath the International Space Station, currently at a distance of about 640 meters away, approaching at a rate of about 1 meter per second.
Navigating via LIDAR and R-bar approach.
And from external cameras on the International Space Station, our first view of the HTV-X1 along the R-bar, that is basically an imaginary line that's drawn between the station and the Earth. There'll be several hold points for the HTV-X1 as it completes what are called near-field on-orbit systems demonstrations.
Great news. As soon as the sun set, the red and white lights became very visible. We have good visual on all three navigation lights.
Happy all. Thank you for that report.
You'll be hearing the voices of Zena Cardman and Kimiya Yui again, operating from a robotics workstation in the cupola of the International Space Station. On console at this hour is the lead flight director for HTV-X1, Fiona Ankoviak. Sitting to her left at the bottom of your screen is Flight Director Elias Mirmo. The spacecraft communicator at the top of your screen is Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency astronaut Aki Hoshide, who himself used the station's robotic arm to capture HTV-3, one of the legacy cargo ships that delivered nine different cargo runs to the station between 2009 and 2020. Hoshide captured HTV-3 using the Canadarm2 robotic arm on August 27, 2012, as a member of Expedition 32. The International Space Station is currently traveling from southwest to northeast, just off the west coast of Australia, in an orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator. Now that the HTV-X has arrived directly below the station, there'll be several hold points for various periods of time where these demonstration activities will take place. The HTV-X1 will stop at a distance of 250 meters, then 30 meters, and then at a capture point just about 10 meters away from the station, at which point Yui will extend the Canadarm2 robotic arm to grapple onto HTV-X1. Once that occurs, the robotic chores will be handed off to the robotics officer here in Mission Control in Houston, who will slowly but surely maneuver HTV-X1 directly underneath the nadir or Earth-facing common berthing mechanism on the Harmony module of the International Space Station, carefully moving the HTV-X1 to its installation point on that common berthing mechanism for it to be bolted into place, basically hard mated, for its 3-month stay on board the International Outpost. So far, the LIDAR sensors on the HTV-X1 have performed normally and up to speed. The other near-field on-orbit demonstrations that lie ahead will be a hold performance demonstration at the 250-meter hold point, basically to monitor the HTV-X's stability close in to the International Space Station and to confirm that it's within the position and velocity limits set during the approach by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. There will also be a retreat, or basically an abort performance demonstration, where the crew itself, Yui and Cardman, will send retreat commands to HTV-X to enable it to back away slightly to ensure that it could have that capability should a systems problem occur close into the station. Once that demonstration has been completed, HTV-X will resume its approach inside the keep-out sphere and move to its final capture point some 10 meters away from the International Space Station. HTV-X1 is carrying about 4.4 tons of supplies and experiments for the Expedition 73 crew aboard the International Space Station. Plan calls for the HTV-X1 to arrive at the station for a capture some 2.5 hours from now. The actual capture time is not it's not written in stone. We could arrive earlier for an earlier capture, but nonetheless, the crew on board the station will not open the hatch and begin to unload the cargo on HTV-X1 until tomorrow. And from external cameras on the station, you can see some of the strobe lights on the outside of the HTV-X1. The HTV-X1, about 400 meters now away from the International Space Station, will arrive at a distance for its first hold point of 250 meters just a few minutes from now. This will be about a 30-minute hold point. The first of these hold points at 250 meters will be designed to conduct the LIDAR sensor tests and a hold demonstration capability, which will be assessed by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency engineers who are in the HTV flight control room in Tsukuba, Japan, as well as flight control team here in Houston. Once the HTV-X1 is bolted into place on the Earth-facing side of the Harmony module of the International Space Station, I will leave just one open port on the station. That final port, the Rosviet module on the Earth-facing side of the Russian segment of the station, will be occupied on Thanksgiving Day when the Soyuz MS-28 spacecraft arrives. The next trio of residents for the station will include NASA's Chris Williams. At that point on Thanksgiving Day, every single port that is used for either an automated docking or an installation on a common berthing mechanism will be occupied on the International Space Station. And the arrival of HTV-X1 coming just days before a significant anniversary. On Sunday, the station will mark the 25th anniversary of a permanent human occupancy. Again, with the arrival of Expedition 1, Bill Shepard, Yuri Gidzenko, and Sergei Krikalev on November 2, 2000. HTV-X1 has slowed its approach as planned, coming up the R-bar. Again, the R-bar is the radial vector. If you basically draw a crosshaired target, middle of that target would be the station, and at the 6 o'clock position is the R-bar, or the radial vector, the imaginary line drawn between the station and the Earth. The HTV-X1 is inchworming its way up the radial vector, currently 300 meters away from the station, closing at a rate of 3/10 of a meter per second. About 25 minutes away from coming into an orbital sunrise, which should provide our first good views of the HTV-X1, and for the first time looking at a vehicle from the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency that has deployed solar arrays. The legacy HTV cargo craft had body-mounted solar cells for its electrical production. The twin solar paddles, as JAXA calls them, were deployed a few minutes after the HTV-X1 arrived on its preliminary orbit on Saturday evening. The systems on the HTV-X1 have performed well during all of its demonstration capability, arriving on course and on time for its expected capture some 2.5 hours from now. The HTV-X1 is using its navigational data from LIDAR sensors, which are doing well in processing data regarding the range to the station and its rate of closure. The LIDAR sensor demonstration test that is currently underway basically compares two separate LIDAR units that are used for navigational updates to the computers on board the HTV-X1, cross-comparing all of that data to ensure that the approach of the HTV is well within expected error limits. We're about 13 minutes away from arriving at the first hold point on the critical phase of this final rendezvous. That would be the 250-meter mark. Once HTVX arrives at 250 meters, the crew on board and flight controllers, both here in Houston and in the HTV control room in Tsukuba, Japan, will be monitoring the hold performance, basically the ability of HTVX to maintain a stable orientation without any rate of closure, to confirm that that's within position and velocity limits. And this view, coming to us courtesy of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, is of the HTV flight control room in Tsukuba, Japan. This is a separate room from the ISS flight control room, or JAXA, that is operated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in support of expedition operations. These flight controllers are specific to HTV operations. They are on their consoles, monitoring all of the data that's coming in from HTV-X1 and communicating directly on the loops with the flight control team here in Houston. We should be arriving at this 250-meter hold point just a few minutes from now to allow the LIDAR and hold demonstrations to begin. A poll will be taken for a go-no-go to continue on and depart the 250-meter mark, as well as the approach and retreat demonstrations that will take place a bit later in HTVX's climb up the R-bar towards its grapple point, which will be some 2 hours and 20 minutes or so from now. This is the view that Kimiya Yui of JAXA and NASA's Zena Cardman are currently seeing from their robotic workstation in the cupola, with all of the overlaid data that shows the corridor, if you will, that the HTV-X1 is climbing up the radial vector to approach the station for the final phase of its 3.5-day journey for grapple and installation to the Earth-facing port of the Harmony module of the International Outpost. The International Space Station is currently flying 260 miles above the Earth in tandem with the HTV-X1, moving from southwest to northeast in an orbit incline 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator. And flight controllers now confirm that we have reached the 250-meter mark between HTV-X.
HTV-X confirmed 250-meter hold for step 2 in 1.102. And be advised, if you're looking at the rendezvous details page, if you look at the secondary range that is under LIDAR 2, you can disregard that.
We can disregard the range under LIDAR 2 on the rendezvous details page, which we are looking at. But we see on our monitors, our prior range is 240. We've got our good 250-meter holds. We have good lights on the HTVX command panel, and prior range currently 240.27.
Yes, and copies all. Thank you.
Stand by for our first Block Bravo calls.
Stand by.
NASA's Zena Cardman reporting back to Aki Hoshide, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency astronaut, the veteran astronaut who is serving as spacecraft communicator today here in Mission Control in Houston. So HTV X1 has reached its first hold point at 250 meters. This will be about a 30-minute period to enable a demonstration of the HTV X's stability and its velocity limits before permission is given for it to resume approach to the next hold point, which will be at 30 meters. We're at a brief loss of signal from the International Space Station for our downlink TV capability from external cameras. We'll be getting that back shortly as we pass within range of the next set of tracking and data relay satellites.
Station for Block Bravo.
Over Block Bravo.
Looking at monitor 3, this is the P1 lower outboard camera. The light is within the corridor. It's difficult in the nighttime lighting to tell whether the vehicle size matches the vehicle outline, but we believe it matches, or approximately matches. The light is offset one-half length forward and centered, port starboard. The circle itself is one vehicle width starboard and one-half vehicle length aft from the center of the corridor. Monitor 1, starboard lower outboard, matches monitor 3.
Happy all, good report.
This is Mission Control Houston. If you're just joining us, you're looking at strobe lights on the outside of the HTV X1, the brand new cargo craft from the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. The HTV X is the heir to the legacy HTV cargo vehicle that made 9 delivery runs to the station between 2009 and 2020. This new vehicle is 26 feet long, 14 and a half feet wide, and is carrying some 4.4 tons of supplies and experiments for the expedition crew on the International Space Station. HTV X1 is holding steady at the first of its 3 hold points at 250 meters from the station. It will resume its approach some 20 minutes from now. There will be a go-no-go poll for the resumption of the approach of HTV X from 250 meters to 30 meters. And to enable an approach and retreat demonstration to take place, test the HTVX's ability to move away from the station through a crew command by Kimiya Yui and Zena Cardman from the workstation of the cupola of the complex, should that become necessary in the unlikely event of a systems issue.
For the suppress warning that it was expected, disregard.
Be disregarding.
And once again, this is the view that Yui and Cardman are seeing from inside the cupola with the data overlaid showing the relative position of HTV X1 as it will be moving shortly from its hold position at 250 meters up the corridor to an eventual grapple point just 10 meters or about 32 feet away from the station. Kimiya Yui will be at the controls of the Canadarm2 robotic arm to reach out and grapple HTV X1. Here in the flight control room in Houston at Mission Control, Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak is informing her team that we'll be taking a poll, a go-no-go poll, to resume approach from 250 meters a short time from now, and for the flight control team to take a look at all of their data to ensure that they're happy before that poll is taken just a few minutes from now. This is Mission Control in Houston. To recap, the HTV X1 is rock solid stable at holding position some 250 meters away from the space station. The flight control teams, both here and in Scuba, Japan, are evaluating LIDAR sensor data to ensure that they're happy with all of that before the approval is given a short time from now for HTVX to resume its approach up the radial vector. Again, that's the imaginary line drawn between the station and the center of the Earth. There will be 2 additional hold points, one at 30 meters, and again, one at the capture point about 10 meters away before Kimiya Yui at the controls of the Canadarm2 robotic arm extends the arm and grapples onto a grapple fixture on HTVX to complete its 3.5-day journey. The robotic chores then will be handed off to the robotics officer here in Mission Control, who will maneuver HTVX to the Earth-facing common berthing mechanism on the nadir side of the Harmony module for its installation and it's bolting into place to form a hard mate. Assuming all goes as planned, once HTVX-1 is bolted into place on the Earth-facing side of the Harmony module, the crew on board the station will make sure that all the leak checks at the berthing interface are good and that we have an airtight seal between HTVX and the International Space Station. The actual hatch opening and the ingress by the crew to begin unloading HTVX's cargo is not scheduled until tomorrow. The International Space Station is in the capture or grapple orientation, according to the flight control team here in Houston. The station is currently flying just south of Alaska, about to begin a northwest to southeasterly trajectory in an orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator. We should be coming into an orbital sunrise just a short time from now. That'll give us our first good view of HTVX-1 with its deployed solar paddles, or arrays, as the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency refers to them as.
Station Houston, I'm 2 for HTVX. Just for your awareness, if you're looking at the monitors, you may see the corridor overlay disappear. The range was at 240, and then now it's at 260, so it's farther out, so that's why it just disappeared. No concerns. Once we resume approach, it will come back.
We copy all. We just talked about that, and glad it matches what we thought we saw. Thanks.
Awesome. VVO was reading your mind.
This is Zena Cardman in the cupola. Talking to Aki Hoshide of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, the veteran astronaut who is the spacecraft communicator today, discussing the cross-comparison of LIDAR sensor data as they prepare for the final phase of the HTVX's approach for its grapple. And there's our view for the first time of the HTVX-1. You can clearly see the thruster firings as the HTVX-1 holds position at the 250-meter mark. This is the brand-new cargo ship from the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency launched from the Tanegashima Space Center on Saturday night U.S. time, Sunday morning Japan time. We're in a handover between satellites on our tracking and data relay satellite system. The International Space Station is currently crossing the coast of Washington State, moving from northwest to southeast. Good view of HTVX-1. The flight control teams are discussing the status of the vehicle's systems in preparation for a go-no-go poll to resume its approach to the next hold point of 30 meters and to continue with an approach and retreat demonstration. HTVX moving in concert with the International Space Station at a speed of about 5 miles per second, but in relative distance to each other, currently holding at 250 meters. Final systems check is being conducted by the JAXA engineers at the HTV Control Center in Tsukuba, Japan. Once HTVX is berthed to the Nader port, the Earth-facing port of the Harmony module, its parking place will be right next door to the Northrop Grumman Cygnus cargo craft, which is mated to the Earth-facing port of the Unity module. HTVX-1 flying over the Rockies, moving towards the southeastern quadrant of the state of Colorado. The visiting vehicle officer here in Mission Control reports that the next pair of demonstration tests, the LIDAR sensor demonstration, and the hold and retreat demonstration will be conducted here shortly, and that data is valuable to ensure that the HTVX can retreat away from the station on crew command if required in the event of a systems issue that would crop up in the terminal phase of this rendezvous. Each of these demonstrations expected to last about 5 minutes in duration. HTVX-1 and the International Space Station now crossing the border between Oklahoma and Texas. HTVX-1 just about to pass off the coast of Louisiana, again flying from northwest to southeast. An evaluation of LIDAR sensor data is underway. This is navigational data that updates the HTVX's computers regarding its relative range away from the space station and its rate of closure once that resumes a short time from now. This view from external cameras on the International Space Station showing Hurricane Melissa. It is currently hacking winds of 105 miles an hour as it moves north-northeast, speed of 14 miles an hour, departing southeastern Cuba after wreaking havoc and devastation on the western portion of Jamaica yesterday with record winds of 185 miles an hour. Again, a view from an altitude of 260 miles as the space station flies just to the west of Hurricane Melissa. This is Mission Control Houston, back to a view of the HTVX-1, holding at 250 meters, about to continue on, pending approval by Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak here in Mission Control. Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak here in Mission Control is completing her poll of her flight control team before informing the HTVX flight director in Scuba, Japan. Next up will be the retreat performance demonstration. The crew will be sending retreat commands from its post in the cupola. This occurring prior to HTVX entering the keep-out sphere. Once again, the HTVX cargo craft, the brand new cargo craft from the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, still holding steady at 250 meters, about to be given approval to conduct a retreat demonstration, essentially a test of an approach abort capability should that become necessary, one of several hold points and demonstration points as the HTVX resides at the moment directly below the International Space Station.
Station Houston, I'm 2 for HTVX. SIPC and MCC Houston are ready for the HTVX approach from 250 meters. Expect approach to resume shortly and stand by for the retreat demo.
Copy. Expecting the approach to resume shortly, and we will also expect the retreat demo.
Good copy.
Aki Hoshide, the spacecraft communicator, informing Zena Cardman aboard the station that all the flight control teams are go for the resumption of approach to the station from 250 meters and for the retreat demonstration in which Cardman will be sending commands to HTVX to essentially stop and back away and then resume approach, testing its capability to perform that function should it become necessary. HTVX at the International Space Station flying 260 miles over northwestern Brazil, moving from northwest to southeast in an orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator. Cardman is joined in the cupola by JAXA astronaut Kimiya Yui, who will be at the controls of the station's Canadarm2 robotic arm to reach out and grapple HTVX once it arrives 10 meters away from that capture point. And HTVX now back on the move, resuming its approach from 250 meters.
Station Houston 2 for HTVX. HTVX has resumed approach from 250 meters. Per step 3 in 1.102, you are go to arm the retreat command, then command retreat when HTVX range is 225 meters. How copy?
Okay, copy. HTVX has resumed the approach, and we are go in step 3 for the retreat command. We will issue that command when we are at prior range 225 meters.
That's a good copy.
Now standing by for the crew to issue the retreat command. The retreat command has been sent.
Houston, station for HTVX. Prior range is 241. We have issued retreat ready. Retreat arm is flashing. We will be ready at prior range 225 for the execute command.
Copy and concur.
HTVX now in a planned retreat. It's a crew command from the cupola.
Houston Station, retreat command has been executed. We see go to retreat point for the visiting vehicle submode and good lights on the HTVX command panel.
Copy all.
Good response by HTVX reported by Zena Cardman, confirmed by the flight controllers here in Houston.
Station Houston on 2 for HTVX. HTVX is in retreat mode. Expect HTVX to slow its approach, then retreat to 250 meters.
Copy. We see HTVX in retreat mode, expecting its rate will slow, and then it will retreat to 250 meters.
Good copy.
HTVX performing as advertised. This is the final major near-field demonstration of the HTV's systems prior to its moving into the keep-out sphere to the next hold point at 30 meters away from the International Space Station. We are standing by for the completion of this retreat demonstration prior to HTVX resuming its approach up the radial vector towards the station and an eventual grapple point just 10 meters away from the international outpost. HTVX currently flying in formation with the International Space Station off the coast of South America, moving from northwest to southeast over the South Atlantic. The retreat demonstration based on crew command from the cupola has been completed and is met the pass-fail criteria. So the evaluation is continuing here in the flight control room as HTVX is poised to resume its approach for its capture with the space station's robotic arm. We are standing by for the final approval from Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak to resume approach from 250 meters. This slow crawl up the radial vector is deliberate to test the HTVX's systems prior to its arrival in close proximity to the station for its eventual grapple by Kimiya Yui of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency using the station's robotic arm.
Station Houston 2 for HTVX, confirm 250-meter hold for step 4 in 1.102.
Working step 4 to confirm 250-meter hold.
Good copy.
With that call from Aki Hoshide to Zena Cardman, the retreat demonstration is now complete.
Confirm for step 4, good 250-meter holds. All lights on the HTVX command panel match, and visiting vehicle mode and submode and prior range are good to go.
Copy all, thanks.
So the retreat demonstration is complete, and HTVX has passed all of its criteria for all of its near-field demonstrations at this point. We're expecting the resumption of approach to the station to commence shortly. This is Mission Control Houston, a good view of the HTVX cargo craft, which is about to resume its approach to the station for its capture and berthing on a common berthing mechanism on the Earth-facing side of the Harmony module later today. HTVX has been holding steady at 250 meters away from the station, just completing its retreat demonstration. We are at accepted commands from the crew on board, from Zena Cardman and Kimiya Yui in the cupola, to test its ability to back away from the station in the unlikely event a systems issue would crop up. Now back at 250 meters, we're just moments away from a final go from Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak to resume approach. This is the view from the end factor camera on the International Space Station's Canadarm2 robotic arm, showing the position of HTVX relative to the station at a distance of 250 meters. HTVX will resume its approach from the 250 meter mark momentarily.
Just wanted to give you a status. So with the lighter 2 issue that we're having, we're going to perform some troubleshooting while at 250 meter hold. So that takes about 10 minutes or so. We'll give you a call when we're ready to resume.
Okay, copy all. We'll expect maybe 10 or so minutes of troubleshooting here at the 250 meter hold.
Good copy.
The troubleshooting referred to by Aki Hoshide in that communication to Zena Cardman aboard the station, referring to some erratic data that is being acquired from one of the two redundant LIDAR sensor systems that provides updated navigational data to the HTVX's onboard computers. However, this is not expected to be an impediment to the resumption of the approach of HTVX for its ultimate capture by the robotic arm. And again, this is a view from the end effector camera on the arm itself, the view that we'll be zooming in on as HTVX is ready to be captured. The arm will be operated by JAXA astronaut Kimiya Yui. The clocks here in Mission Control currently being updated for the various milestones that are ahead. Probably about 21 minutes away from departing the 250-meter mark and about an hour and 37 minutes away from its capture. The original capture time was pegged at 10:50 a.m. Central, 11:50 a.m. Eastern time. However, there's nothing magic about that time. We have all the time in the world today, since the crew does not plan to open the hatch to HTVX and begin to unload its cargo until tomorrow. This is Mission Control Houston, continuing to watch the HTVX, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency's new cargo craft, that is sitting rock steady about 250 meters away from the International Space Station. HTVX and the station flying in formation just to the southeast of the southern tip of Africa, about to begin a southwest and northeasterly trajectory across the Indian Ocean. We are standing by for final approval to resume approach to the station from 250 meters, with the HTV having completed all of its near-field systems demonstration tests. Once the approach to the station resumes from 250 meters, the next arrival point will be at 30 meters for a final systems check before the HTV is given approval to move in within range of the grappling point or the capture point where the station's robotic arm will reach out and capture the vehicle for its ultimate installation on the Earth-facing port of the Harmony module. The JAXA HTV flight director is wrapping up their analysis of one of the two redundant LIDAR navigation sensors. All of the data appears to be coming in line, and we should be getting approval shortly from Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak to resume approach from 250 meters. A good view of the thruster firings on the HTVX as it holds position 250 meters away from the International Space Station at a point directly below the station. HTVX has behaved very well, all of its systems functioning up to speed, and based on pre-flight expectations, in the 3.5 days that it has traveled from the launch pad at the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan to this point, ready to resume its final approach from 250 meters to the next stoppage point some 30 meters away from the station.
Station Houston on 24 HTVX. SIPC and Houston are ready for HTVX approach inside the keep-out sphere. Expect approach to resume shortly.
Chain copies. Great news. Expecting approach to resume shortly.
And there's the confirmation relayed to Zena Cardman from Aki Hoshide here in Mission Control. The HTVX has checked out. Everything is in good shape, and we're ready to resume its approach from 250 meters inside the so-called keep-out sphere, which in layman's terms would be the close neighborhood toward the International Space Station. It's a brand-new cargo craft joining the supply chain of other cargo vehicles, providing supplies, food, and fuel for the expedition crew members on board the station, soon to be joining other vehicles attached to the station. You mentioned this earlier, but it's worth noting that once HTVX arrives at the station and is bolted into place later today on the Earth-facing side of the Harmony module of the station, only one arrival port will be left open, that being the Rosviet module of the International Space Station. That's on the Earth-facing side of the Russian segment of the station, otherwise known as MRM-1. That port will be occupied on Thanksgiving Day when Soyuz MS-28 arrives with two Russian cosmonauts and NASA's Chris Williams. At that point, every single port will be occupied at the International Space Station. And, of course, the arrival of HTVX coming just days before the 25th anniversary of a permanent human occupancy aboard the station that will be marked on Sunday, November 2nd.
The approach has resumed. We are starting step 5 of 1.102.
And HTVX once again on the move, departing 250 meters. We're about 12 minutes behind the timeline. The extra time needed at the 250-meter mark.
Step 5, we have good lights on the HTVX command panel, and we will begin our Block Bravo calls.
Copy.
This will take some 30 minutes for HTV to traverse up the radial vector, again, the imaginary line drawn between the space station and the Earth, essentially a point directly below the station, before it reaches the 30-meter hold point.
In the station, 4 Block Bravo, using monitor 3. The light is within the corridor. Vehicle size matches the outline, though it is hard to see again now that we are in darkness. The light is 1/2 vehicle length forward from the circle and 1/4 vehicle width starboard from the circle. The circle is 1/2 length aft from the center of the corridor. Monitor 1 matches monitor 3.
Happy, good report. Thanks. Station Houston 2 for HTVX. HTVX is inside the 200-meter keep-out sphere. Crew now has authority to issue an abort if no comm with Houston and light outside the corridor. How copy?
Copies. We are monitoring our retreat and abort criteria per 1.102, and HTVX is inside the 200-meter keep-out sphere.
Good copy.
To the station for Block Bravo.
Over Block Bravo.
To monitor 3, the light is within the corridor. Vehicle size matches the outline. Only changes currently are the light is 1/4 vehicle length forward and 1/8 vehicle width starboard from the circle. The circle is 1/2 vehicle length aft and 1/4 vehicle width starboard and moving further starboard from the center of the corridor.
Happy, good trending.
Monitor 1 matches monitor 3.
Copy that.
Zena Cardman reporting back data that she's seeing on her monitors in the cupola. She's alongside Kimiya Yui of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency as the HTVX moves up the so-called corridor up the radial vector, now about 147 meters away from the station, closing at a rate of about 1/10 of a meter per second. This is essentially a methodical crawl for the HTVX up the radial vector as all of its systems are being carefully evaluated prior to the time that it arrives within very, very close proximity of the station. There will be another hold point at 30 meters to assess its systems before it resumes its approach from the 30-meter hold point to what is called the capture point, about 10 meters away, some 32 feet away from the station. That's the point that a final assessment of the systems will be made before approval is given for Kimiya Yui and the cupola to begin extending the Canadarm2 robotic arm towards a grapple fixture on HTVX.
Station Huntsville, space to ground 2 for Johnny and Payload Naz at your convenience.
So Johnny 2, how can I help?
Hey, Johnny, we wanted to free you up to watch HTVX capture, so we are ready for you to perform your Payload NAS hard drive reseat whenever you'd like. Additionally, we were able to cut out about 30 minutes from this procedure, so step 1.3.2 in that procedure has you getting a go from us to verify 30 minutes have passed. We have already verified all that we need from that, so you are go to skip that step and move through your procedure. It should only take you about 10 minutes.
Hey, Matt, Tommy, I reviewed the procedures, and we are on the same wavelength. I was just going to ask if I could get that hard drive cooling done early. I understand the big intent behind this. I'm going to reseat the hard drives, which shouldn't take too long. Any more information maybe on the background of what signature you all are seeing on your end? I've got a couple NESs at home, so I'm wondering if I'd be able to help, depending on what kind of signature you're seeing.
Yeah, so we're trying to correct an issue with one of the hard drives experienced a degradation and a logical ejection. All these hard drives are going to be reseated as a preventative action in case a similar issue is present on the other hard drives that we haven't noticed yet.
Okay. Do you know which hard drive is the one that's showing an off-nominal signature?
Yeah, that's hard drive 3.
Copy, number 3. Okay, so I will go ahead and reseat them all per the procedure.
I will pass your words on to someone who is more technically savvy than I am, but we appreciate that.
If you have any help, thanks for the support. I'll get it knocked out now.
To the station for Block Bravo call.
Go on, dude.
Okay, changes are the vehicle continuing to trend further starboard. So differences from last time, the light is 1/4 vehicle forward from the circle, 1/8 vehicle width starboard from the circle. The circle itself is 1/2 vehicle width starboard from the center of the corridor and 1/4 vehicle length aft.
Copy all. Good report.
Once again, several conversations ongoing aboard the station. Johnny Kim of NASA talking to payload controllers at the Payload Operations Control Center at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Zena Cardman in the cupola of the International Space Station, along with JAXA astronaut Kimi Yui, monitoring the slow but steady approach of HTVX up the radial vector from a point directly below the station. Currently 100 meters separating HTVX from its grapple point. Everything continuing to look good. No concerns. The visiting vehicle officer here in Mission Control and the HTVX flight director at their control room in Tsukuba, Japan, are reporting that all of HTVX's systems are in excellent shape as it continues its very slow but deliberate approach to its final arrival point about 10 meters away from the complex. We are in between satellite coverage on our tracking and data relay satellite system. We'll get our downlink television capability from the station's external cameras back here shortly. Just to recap, HTVX launched from the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan atop an H-3 rocket by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency on Saturday night U.S. time, Sunday morning Japan time. The three-and-a-half-day rendezvous for HTVX deliberately plotted out to test all of its brand-new systems on this new cargo freighter prior to its arrival in close proximity to the station, which occurred very early this morning. Since then, a series of near-field demonstration tests of HTVX's systems have been conducted, with all of those systems passing muster. HTVX currently about 80 meters away now from the station, continuing to move to the next hold point at the 30-meter mark.
Station for Block Bravo.
Granted.
Coming up on 60 meters. Using monitor 3, the light is within the corridor. Vehicle size matches the outline. The light is now just barely forward of the circle and centered port starboard relative to the circle. The circle is less than 1/4 vehicle width starboard and less than 1/8 vehicle length aft from the center of the corridor, all converging on the center of the corridor.
Copy. Good report. Thanks.
Zena Cardman reporting the relative position that she is seeing HTVX in as it moves up the corridor for its grapple point. All of that data appears to be in good shape, some 56 meters now separating HTVX from the station. HTVX and the International Space Station are currently traveling 260 miles just west of HTVX's launch site at the Tanegashima Space Center.
And Johnny, we copy on 2. Apologies, I lost KU there. We copy that amber light. We're checking on it, but we'll let you know if we need anything else.
This is Mission Control Houston. HTVX is approaching the 30-meter hold point. Everything continuing to look good on the vehicle as it methodically makes its way from a point directly below the station to a capture point at about the 10-meter mark. There will be a hold point first at 30 meters to assess the HTVX's systems before it resumes its approach one final time to that capture point for a final assessment before Kimiya Yui uses the station's robotic arm to reach out and grapple the Japanese cargo ship that launched 3.5 days ago from the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan.
From the station, no changes to our previous box level call.
Copy that, Zena, and be advised. So we did recover the LiDAR 2, but it faltered again. So we're going to leave, we're going to be in this config for capture.
Copy. Understand we'll be in this config for capture. No problem.
And that call from Aki Hoshide here in Mission Control to Zena Cardman indicating that one of the two redundant LiDAR navigation sensor systems has been providing some erratic data to the onboard computers. So that has been evaluated here in Mission Control as well as in the HTV flight control room in Tsukuba, Japan. Is of no concern. Pressing ahead with the approach of HTVX for its grapple, IUE using the Canadarm2 robotic arm. And we now have confirmation that we have reached the 30-meter hold point.
Station Houston on 2 for HTVX. Confirm a 30-meter hold. And set up and brief for capture per step 6 and 1.102.
The crew will receive a final briefing now from Mission Control here in Houston.
We can confirm 30-meter hold. Flights on the HTVX command panel match expected, and we will set up for capture per step 6 of 1.102.
It works.
This will be about a 15-minute hold. The crew on board will be a final briefing on procedures as HTVX traverses the final few meters for its capture. The HTV flight director in Tsukuba, Japan, reporting that they're happy with all of the vehicle systems. Flight director Fiona Antkowiak is about to take a final poll of her flight controllers here for resumption within 30 meters. And the crew will be receiving a short briefing on final procedures prior to the HTV closing the gap for its capture robotically by Kimiya Yui using the station's robotic arm. And a good view of the HTVX, just 30 meters away from the International Space Station, as the two fly in formation over the northeast Pacific, moving from northwest to southeast. This pass will take the two vehicles directly over Baja California a short time from now. HTVX carrying about 4.5 tons of supplies and experiments for the Expedition 73 crew aboard the International Space Station. HTVX holding steady, minutes away from reaching its final destination. And an even closer view of the new cargo vehicle. The HTVX made of two major components, pressurized module and a service module. The service module contains the propulsion and guidance navigation control communications and power systems. 26 feet long, 14.5 feet wide, about to join the resupply chain at the International Space Station. And framed against the limb of the Earth, good view of the HTVX in close proximity to the International Space Station. HTVX.
Station on 2 for HTVX. Per 1.110, step 3.2, crew is ready for HTVX approach to capture point.
Copy all. Stand by. Station Houston 2 for HTVX. HTVX is ready to proceed to the capture point. Expect the approach to resume shortly.
We're handing over between satellites.
Station Houston 2 for HTVX. HTVX is ready to proceed to the capture point. Expect approach to resume shortly.
Station copy. It's ready to proceed to capture point. Expecting approach to resume shortly.
So with that, Aki Hoshide informing Zena Cardman that the vehicle is ready to resume the final leg of its 3.5-day journey to its capture point just about 10 meters away from the International Space Station. And the approach command has now been sent. HTVX and Space Station flying just off the west coast of the United States.
Station Houston 2 for HTVX. HTVX has begun approach from 30 meters. Monitor per step 7 in 1.102.
And copies. Resuming the approach and monitoring per step 7 of 1.102.
The actual capture phase involves Kimiya Yui operating the station's robotic arm from the cupola, backed up by NASA's Zena Cardman. The end effector will move over the grapple pin. It will actually grapple HTVX, but the snares then will have to close, the carriage retracted. That will mark the official capture time that we'll provide for you as soon as we have that data. HTVX closing in at a very glacial pace, some 28 meters away, 27 meters away.
Since station on 2 for Block Bravo, lights have converged on the center of the circle, and circle has converged on the center of the corridor.
Copy. Good report. Thanks.
This view now from the end effector camera on the station's Canadarm2 robotic arm, 25 meters separating HTVX from the arm. 23 meters now separating HTVX from the International Space Station, just passing south of Baja California, moving from northwest to southeast. This is Mission Control Houston, everything continuing to go very well as HTVX is about to close within 20 meters of the International Space Station. You can see the Canadarm2 extended, ready to move in under the command of Kimiya Yui, operating from a workstation of the cupola, backed up by NASA's Zena Cardman. That arm will be set in motion once HTVX arrives at about the 10-meter mark. HTVX continues its methodical approach towards the end effector of the station's robotic arm, now just 17 meters separating HTVX from the capture point. Once HTVX has been grappled, Kimiya Yui and Zena Cardman will hand over the robotic chores to the robotics officer here in Mission Control in Houston, who will spend the next several hours maneuvering HTVX toward the Earth-facing port of the Harmony module for its installation into the common berthing mechanism on that nadir side of Harmony, where HTVX will then be bolted into place. The crew will not be opening the hatch to HTVX until tomorrow morning to begin the process of unloading the start of cargo operations, some 4.5 tons of supplies and experiments arriving at the International Space Station. HTVX and the station flying from northwest to southeast over the Pacific Ocean, just off the coast of South America, now just 14 meters separating the two vehicles. We're about 5 minutes away from arriving at the capture point. One final check of HTVX's systems before the approval is given for Kimiya Yui to begin extending the Canadarm2 toward the grapple fixture. 13 meters now separating HTVX and the station. Everything looking very good. HTVX's systems rock solid. HTVX and the International Space Station flying just off the coast of Peru. And a good view from the end effector camera on the Canadarm2 as you're looking right down the barrel of the grapple fixture that the Canadarm2 will affix itself to here a short time from now. The journey of HTVX that began 3.5 days ago with its launch atop JAXA's H3 rocket from the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan about to conclude, now just 12 meters separating HTVX from the grapple fixture on the International Space Station's Canadarm2.
Station Houston on 2 for HTVX. Confirm capture point hold for step 8 in 1.102.
Houston Station for step 8 of 1.102. We can confirm CP hold.
Houston copies.
This is Mission Control Houston. Aki Hoshide confirming with Zena Cardman that HTVX has reached one final hold point at the 10-meter mark. Now, polling the flight controllers for a go, no go to resume the operations that will involve Kimiya Yui extending the Canadarm2 from this 10-meter mark to the grapple fixture on HTVX to complete this rendezvous. HTVX is about to be placed into what is called free drift, inhibiting any further thruster firings, so as not to perturbate the operation of the Canadarm2 robotic arm as it moves in to grapple the vehicle.
Station Houston 2 for HTVX. PVGF SEP is enabled. Prepare for capture per step 9 and 1.102.
We see PVGF SEP is enabled, and we are working step 9 of 1.102.
Houston copies.
Houston Station, per step 9, we can confirm command panel LED configuration is good, and our capture preparations are confirmed. We are ready for HTVX capture with a preference to wait until the other side of this S-band handover.
Copy. And Houston copies, stand by for capture.
The S-band handover referred to by Zena Cardman is a brief gap in communications. Voice-wise, you do have solid downlink television capability. So we're just a couple of minutes away from Kimiya Yui beginning the work to extend the Canadarm2 robotic arm for its capture of the Japanese cargo ship that is completing its maiden voyage to the International Space Station. HTVX and the station currently flying over Argentina from northwest to southeast in an orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator, about to emerge off the east coast of South America over the South Atlantic.
And Station Houston on 2 for HTVX Xena. So that the big gap in Optimus, we think that's conservative. It's going to be more like the 4-minute continuation and then a 20-second handover after that.
Okay, copy. That is great information. We can, with your go, start working step 4 of 1.110.
Okay, copy that. Stand by. We're doing the final pull on the ground.
We copy all.
Station Houston on 2 for HTVX. You are go for HTVX capture sequence. Perform step 4 in robotics procedure 1.110. Begin monitoring the backway cue card.
Station copies. We are go for the capture sequence. We will start with step 4 of...
And we're in that brief handover in S-band communications. But the approval has been given for Kimiya Yui to begin the work with the Canadarm2 robotic arm to extend it slowly and methodically toward the grapple fixture on the vehicle. And the International Space Station now in free drift. Thrusters disabled. Standing by for arm motion.
Houston Station on 2 for your awareness. We are doing translational alignment and then beginning our approach.
Copy. We're watching.
And the robotics officer reports the arm is now in motion. 4.5 meters. Good view from the end effector camera. Both vehicles are in free drift. 2.5 meters. 1 meter away, standing by for capture. We have initial capture. It's a soft capture. Waiting for snares to close and carriage retract. Things continuing to look good. And we have capture confirmed. Capture confirmed at 10:58 a.m. Central Time, 11:58 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a good handshake between the Canadarm2 and HTVX. Its arrival at the International Space Station now complete. Capture again confirmed at 10:58 a.m. Central Time, 11:58 a.m. Eastern Time, as HTVX and the International Space Station flew 260 miles over the South Atlantic.
Houston Station, all space ground 2, HTV capture complete. Go for HTVX post capture reconfiguration action. And I just want to say congratulations to all teams and people involved in this mission. Also, thank you very much for your hard work and support for the first HTVX mission. This is a historic event in the Japanese space program. Spacecraft is so beautiful and shining. And this is representing our future, bright future. Thank you again for delivering these important supplies and experiments. I can't wait to open this golden treasure box.
日本の皆さん、HDX 君が無事に ISS に着きました。このミッションを通じて、日本が高い技術力で、国際的な宇宙開発に貢献していることを知っていただいて、日本とですね、その、である皆さんに、誇りを持っていただけたら嬉しいです。明るい希望と未来に通じるこの活動を引き続き応援してください。今日は私にこの大役を任せていただき、ありがとうございました。Thank you very much.
Copy, capture, complete, and great words, Kimia. Congratulations to you guys, and congratulations to the entire team, to all of those around the world who has contributed towards this successful mission. And special congrats to our friends in Japan who has worked so hard for years in development and training to make this dream come true. HTVX is the 11th vehicle to visit the ISS. Like its predecessor, HTV, and its legacy, HTVX will be a key element towards our future in space together, in low Earth orbit and for lunar exploration. Once again, congratulations. 日本の皆さん、HTVX 初号機の ISS 到着おめでとうございます。先代の HTV、コウノトリに新しい技術を加えた HTVX は、ISS をはじめとする地球低軌道、そして月までも含めて人類のさらなる可能性を切り開く大きな鍵になります。引き続き一丸となって新しい未来を切り開いていきましょう。リュウさん、キャプチャーおめでとうございます。Good job!
Thank you. ありがとうございます。Thank you for your heartwarming, warm words. Thank you.
And so, that exchange of words between two, astronauts representing the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, Kimiya Yui on board the station, part of Expedition 73, relaying, his congratulations, to the whole team for a flawless 3.5-day journey of HTVX from its launch pad at Kanagashima Space Center.To its capture just a few minutes ago, Yui operating the Canadarm2 robotic arm to reach out and grapple HTVX. He will hand over those robotic chores to the robotics officer here in Mission Control who maneuver HTVX to the Earth-facing common berthing mechanism on the Harmony module for its installation and bolting into place later today. Those words acknowledged by veteran astronaut Aki Hoshide,here in Mission Control, who himself used the Canadarm2 back in 2012 as part of Expedition 32 to capture the, one of the original HTV vehicles, the HTV-3. So, the work is now complete, with the exception of the maneuvering of the vehicle to its installation and bolting into place later today. The bottom line, a flawless, rendezvous.Everything went by the book. All of HTVX's systems performed normally for its capture at 10:58 a.m. Central Time, 11:58 a.m. Eastern Time, as HTVX and the space station flew 260 miles over the South Atlantic. So with that, we will wrap up our coverage for today. Thank you for joining us this morning, and have a good day the rest of this day and of the days to come. This is Mission Control Houston.
Station Houston 2 for Mike.
Chita-san, this is Fink. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. We wanted to pass some words from EVA regarding your question on your crew note about the Russian EVA tool transfer. So the word that we got was that each of the items on the still note will contain multiple items. The CTB that you mentioned specifically will contain the two HECAs and the related hardware.There's going to be another activity that will be scheduled later to do a detailed inventory as they stole all the U.S. tools and equipment used on the Russian EVA. Hope that answers your question, but if you have any other additional questions.
So, yes, that was a question that Alexei and I had, and you answered it very nicely. We just wanted to make sure that... We understood the intent of the activity, and everything is nicely in the airlock, and I think you also saw that the airlock is full right now, so we'll install the DIDB restraint bag and the snorkel at some future time Monday night.
Okay, copy all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and Hoshida-san, I really liked your words today. They were very inspirational. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and you guys look reflected in that matching T-shirt.
We are proud to wear them today, and tomorrow probably too.
Copy.
Houston Station on 2 for BPA, step 2.1.
Zena, you are go in 2.1.
Okay, saving's complete, and I have a go in 2.1. Thanks.
Houston Station on Skyscan 2 for CBCS.
Yeah, you have a go in step 1.3 for CBCS.
Thank you. I have a go on step 1.3. Thank you. Houston Station on Skyscan 2 for CBCS.
Ground 2.
Initiation complete, so go for ground verification.
Copy. Thank you.
Thank you. Station on Skyscan 2 for North 2 vestibule leak check prep.
Ed?
I'm on procedure 2.805, step 1.1, and checking RFID reader radios off.
And Kimia, we can confirm it's off, OFF.
Thank you. So station on Skyscan 2 for North 2 vestibule for the serial numbers.
Rage copy.
Scope meter barcode number is 00009M.
That's a good barcode.
And multimeter barcode number is 00170439J.
Good barcode as well.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
To the station 2 for BPA.
Zena.
No joy with this procedure. I can give you my assessment and let you know what I've done so far when you're ready to copy.
Ready.
Okay, so I did the rerouting of the hose, and I see why that might have been interfering, but that has not actually resolved the issue. I did also try adjusting the F2 mount, loosened those fasteners a little bit so that there was some more wiggle room, and tried yawing the bracket a little bit or nudging the bracket a little bit. What I think is going on is that the whole thing needs to actually translate. If you imagine that you are the F2 QD traveling toward M2 and your head is the press here release button, you would need to translate left in order to be aligned with M2. One side of the F2 female end is bumping into the O-rings on the M2 side.
Happy stomach.
And my recommendation would probably be to remove the F2 mount in order to access the little car that the whole thing travels on. Those look like 964th fasteners, and see if we can adjust the position of that car.
Standby. And Zena, are you trying to mate the QD while the clamp is there? Correction. While the clamp is loose.
I have tried with the clamp loose and also with the clamp retightened but position adjusted.
Copy.
That helps with the yaw of the F2 side, but doesn't give me quite enough wiggle room translationally.
Hey Zena, is the QD currently demated or is it mated?
QD is currently demated, so I can put the cap on it and also cap the bladder or remove the bladder.
Copy, stand by. Station Houston on 2, back with you, Zena.
Houston on 2.
Yeah, Zena, so we talked about it on the ground. At this point, we would like you to remove the bladder, tap the QD and also the BPA side, and then we'd like some photos, and if you can, do a quick video survey. And then with the config that we are in right now, your region, Yedeve activities, those will be aborted. You do not need to perform those.
Okay, copy. And I do have photos of my best shot of the misalignment that I think we're seeing. I will try to take a video as well. I will then cap the QDs after removing the bladder, and I'll cap on both the BPA side and the QD side,
and then copy that my regen activities are not necessary with this no drug.
Good copy. Thank you.
Houston Station 2 for Cygnus Stowage.
Go ahead on 2.
Yes, I have a question about line item, standby 1, 209.03. There's just some trash bag liners. There's 3 ziplocks of trash bag liners, and they do not fit into the half CTB NG23 trash bag liner. And one idea could be to put them into the current trash bag liner pantry. I just need to take one of those ziplocks out, and then I think they'll fit barely into that half CTB. Over.
We'll take your suggestion. You're good to do that.
Okay. So on line item 2903, 2 of those ziplocks made it to half CTB 5371. The other one is in will be in the trash bag liner pantry. Thank you.
Copy all. Thank you. Station Houston on 2. Just want to let you know we are in the pre-install location. We'd like to execute the no exercise constraint a few minutes early if you guys are okay.
Station 2, we copy. We'll make sure no one is exercising. Just let us know whenever the constraint is over.
Okay, copy that, and we'll let you know when it's over. And thanks for the detail.
Station 2, still track, step 209.07.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Aki. So I've got the daily control panel in my hand. I see keep it cushioned and then put it into a 2.0 CTB. The daily control panel is pretty long. I've got it. If you look in the lab camcorder, you'll be able to see me. But it won't fit in the 2.0. I suggest a 4.0.
Can we see you on the lab camera checking? Hey, Johnny, thanks for that view. Do you think that's going to fit in a 3.0? Otherwise, we would like to think about it.
Wait, let me see. Yeah, I think it might fit in a 3.0.
Okay, thank you. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Xena, when you have a chance. No rush.
With you on 2.
Hey, Xena, we've completed all the CBCS activities from the ground, so if you want to, we can you can start the Note 2 CBCS activity in your pre-sleep time frame, so you can start anytime. We are going step 3.1. Safing is complete.
Okay, I can start any time for the CBCS activity, and I'm go in step 3.1. Thank you so much. That's great.
You bet. And if you can pass a word to Johnny, I know he's working the cargo ops right now. We got a couple of words for him when he's complete with that.
Copy. He'll check in.
Thank you much.
Here's your station, Johnny, too. Where are you, copy?
Hey, Johnny, since we don't have an evening DPC, we got some words for you, and stand by. We're going to be in LOS or handover in about a minute 40. For you, Johnny, there's an AGA checkout that was scheduled for tomorrow. That's going to be moved to Monday, so there's a change in plan. And we'll let you know about the no exercise constraint when it's lifted. We'll give you a call. And otherwise, I got Huntsville has one more item for you, and if you can check in with them.
Bialaki, great working with you. Huntsville, what do you got? I think we can make it before handover.
I think we got it. Just one status for you, Johnny. We think that the payload NAS light will still be amber, but from our side, the payload NAS is functioning as expected. Everything is nominal, and those hard drives are in a good config. They're just rebuilding after the reboot. But that light should remain amber and then turn itself to green once they're done with that.
It's actually already green, so I think it is on its way and healthy. Good news. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks for the report, and have a good night.
To you too. Go HTBX.
Station Houston on 2 for the crew. Just want to let you know that HTVX1 is structurally mated to Note 2 Nader, and with that, the no exercise constraint is lifted.
Sensation copy. Great news. Thank you.
And great working with you guys today. Great job on the HTVX capture.
Okay, it goes back to you all, the flight control teams, and Kimi and Zena. You all crushed it. Thank you.
Sensation on 2 for CBCS. Step 3.3, node 2 video camera port, return to nominal config.
Copy, Zena, thanks.
Sensation 2 for non-captive fastener.
Go ahead on 2 for non-captive fastener.
Okay, we are closing up the node 2 deck 4 panel 1, and one of the fasteners has become non-captive. Already one of the four fasteners was broken, so we now only have two fasteners for that panel. They're both on the same side, and it kind of pushes the panel up since we've got a bunch of bags under there. Basically, what I need is a washer that is an outer diameter of about 20 millimeters, and the hole in the middle is about 7 millimeters. Do we have one of those on board somewhere?
We are checking on that. Copy that you're looking for a washer that is outer diameter 20 millimeters and inner diameter 7 millimeters. We're going to see what we can find.
Thank you. And I did check under the panel to see if I could find the missing washer, but no joy.
Okay. And just to clarify, you did not lose the fastener. You have it in hand. You're just looking for a washer to be able to hold it in place. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct. I've got the fastener, one washer, as described, and then the little locking washer that holds it all in place, but the locking washer springs off, and one of the two larger washers is missing.
Okay, we will see what we can find, if you're thinking we need, do you think we need additional restraining on this panel based on, is it being subjected to forces that are causing these things to break off?
I think it's probably just a matter of this panel is hard to access and under a lot of stuff, and we've been in and out of this location a lot frequently with visiting vehicles, so normally we're not exercising these fasteners all that much, but I think it should be good if we can just put a washer back on it and put it back in place.
Okay, copy all. Hopefully we'll get you an answer here pretty soon.
Much appreciated, and if not, we'll just tape it in place to avoid side-loading the fasteners that are in place and hold on to the rest of this fastener assembly until we've got a plan.
Station Houston on 2 for Zena and fastener.
See on 2.
So, unfortunately, we think we can't easily find a washer for this, and other times we have had to deal with something like this. It was somewhat extensive of an OFM. For an IFM operation. So what we're recommending for tonight is just go ahead and tape it in place and then temp stow that one washer and fastener with it. We'll come back on a different day to hit it with a new washer. And the other question is, so this was node 2, deck 4, panel 1. The activity, we're a little surprised you guys were in this panel today. Were you doing the CBCS VOK stow from tomorrow? We're just trying to figure out if we can pull that off the timeline.
Affirm. Was just stowing that exact item, and copy all. This can definitely be a tomorrow problem or a next week problem. We'll tape it in place along with the washer assembly and the fastener. My other idea is one of the four fasteners on this panel is broken, and I could just harvest one of the washers from that.
Okay, that's a good input, then. That will figure into our long-term remedy plan, but rather than going after this tonight, we'll get the teams thinking about it and come up with a nice solid plan for you.
Okay, sounds great.
And just one more follow-up on the CBCS VOK. So the VOK we're going to use tomorrow, CBCS can be restowed.
Copy, yeah, good clarification. The VOK is still out, but the CBCS is stowed.
Okay, copy all. Then we're in a good config. We will work on getting a plan together to fix this fastener. We'll, of course, always take photos if you get a chance to do so as well.
Okay, copy. And I was able to get the little locking washer back on the end of this fastener assembly, so I think it wouldn't be more than about 10 minutes of work. But I'll send a photo.
Yeah, so, Zena, that's a good input. I think tonight. We'll go ahead and tape it. We're going to have to get in there tomorrow, but that word that you got the locking washer on, maybe that affects the config that we're in at the end of the day tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan.